How you all doing tonight? You guys doing all right? Yeah? All right, cool. How many have you seen so far? This one?
Ooh.
Oh, well. Everyone? Oh.
Nice.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, I remember those days.
Welcome to Stab Comedy Theater. It's the day three of the Sacramento Podcast Festival, show two, day three. We're in the home stretch. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Please welcome to already on the stage, the WTH Podcast.
Hi, everybody.
Yes.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us. I'm going to make this sort of like an official podcast like you would normally hear. I feel weird if I don't have the open in the show, so take a listen to this little bit.
WTH.
What the hell?
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 This is the WTH.
The WTH Podcast.
Hold on to your butts.
Jason Casey.
Jason Casey.
Kareem Daniels.
Kareem Daniels.
And Nate Darling.
Nate Darling.
This is the WTH Podcast.
All right. Live from Stab Comedy Theater on Broadway. It's good to be here.
Yeah.
Jason, how are you?
Doing amazing.
Excellent. Kareem?
I'm trying to stay awake, but I am great.
There you go. We're going to do some of the things that we do on every show, sort of give you a little sample idea of what we do. We have segments called Small Town News. We also have a little bit called Sex Toy News and Florida Corner, all coming up on the show today. Hi. People in the doorway. Are they coming in? Oh, okay.
This is it.
Yeah, this is it. Hi.
Now the mystery
are we worth the $5?
Yes.
We'll see. See if they come back. But before we get going, I just want to start by talking about what the show is, because you guys in the theater here are probably new to us. And what we do is we look at absurd news stories from around the world and in our own backyard that make us go, what the hell? And there's a lot of them, and you might see them on your local news, but probably not. So
yeah,
we try to be informative and fun at the same time
and non-political, but unfortunately just as
though it always happens.
Yeah.
It's so absurd.
Do we have any people who'd love Donald Trump here today?
We're safe.
Yeah. I just wanted to let, I wanted to give a trigger warning if there were.
Yeah.
So
yeah, because I might hurt your feelings.
Before we get going on the show, I just want to. Well, this is sort of an intimate setting, a podcast, and I want to sort of go through who we are. So let's start out, Jason. Why don't you start out by telling everybody a little bit about yourself?
My name is Jason. I'm a reformed I am now a family guy. I'm a reformed party animal. 5 years, I guess, is about the date that happened, and do a comedy, and I'm here. This is it. This is what I'm doing.
Woo! It's very exciting.
Thanks. What's up,
Kareem? What about you?
I'm a jack of all trades, master of none. I'm a photographer right now, and a documentary filmmaker. Hopefully we'll be finished that in the next 3 to 6 months.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. You have an art exhibit that just opened up.
Yeah, so I have a photography exhibit that just opened up at the Brickhouse Art Gallery called The Invisible Man, Reclaiming the Image of the Black Father. And the documentary portion of that is still being edited. And then I found two more experts yesterday.
Nice.
So all I have to do is B-roll and interview the three experts now that I have, and we'll have a full-length documentary.
For anybody who doesn't know what B-roll is, that's the video that you put over someone talking, so it's not just a talking head the whole time.
Yeah.
My name is Nate, and I love podcasting. So this show has existed in one form or another since 2011, so we're going on 8 years and three sets of co-hosts, which is very exciting. eventually everyone tires of me. Just ask my two ex-wives. A little bit about me. I worked in TV for 20 plus years until At the end of November, I was called into a room and told my job no longer existed, which was fun. And meantime, I've been working on opening my own business, and that'll be coming soon. So we'll be talking about that on the podcast as things get going a little bit further along. I have two ex-wives, one current wife.
Yes.
One just current one. Just one.
That he knows of.
And a foster child. So I have a three-month-old in my house, which Jason also has a two young children.
Yeah, 2.5-year-old and a 5-week-old.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Little sleep vampires.
That's caffeine, buddy.
All right, so we covered what the show is a little bit, and we covered who we are. So this is a segment we normally do on Monday. I'm not sure when the show is actually going to hit the internet, but for you guys, I wanted to give you a little sample. This is the airing of the grievances.
And now it's time for the airing of the f***ing grievances.
Just like in Seinfeld, the grievances are things that we're irritated with. So, Kareem?
So this is where we usually get out of not being political, because it's generally something political. And one of my favorite rants is white people.
Oh, well, this is going to be fun.
Yeah. Thanks.
Oh, man. So this week there were four bills in the California legislature about charter schools. Two of them got shot down and two of them are moved over to the Senate. And, you know, so everybody's complaining about charter schools. But for the black community, charter schools have been one of the ways that have helped increase our chances with education. And a lot of the people that I see complaining about the charter schools are white people. And my answer to that is when we first went through this thing where we switched over the education system to been from federal to like state control, anytime anything the state's right, that means this is the right to be racist. I don't know if you know that or not, but that's generally what it is. And so with the when you had a chance to make sure our education system was good and effective for everybody, you were like, nah, fuck those Negroes, you're on your own, we're going to move all our schools, all children over here. So now that chickens are coming home to roost, cock-a-doodle-doo, motherfucker.
Is it racist that I wonder why it's all about the chicken?
That poor rooster.
Move on. Jason, what's been chewing at you?
Generally, I try not to let anything chew at me, you know. But always something. And today it was, we're currently trying to sell our house. Because we found another house. We did not want to sell our house, but ended up like finding a house, going to open houses, just seeing what's open in the neighborhoods around us, because we want an extra bathroom. But by no means are we ready that moment to sell. Well, we found a house, we're like, let's sell. Let's try to get this house right away. So our last 2 weeks with a 5-week-old now is nuts, to say the least. A lot of juggling.
Hold on 1 second. Is this the whitest complaint you've ever heard?
I think it might be. It's in the top five.
I just like the juxtaposition. Sorry. Go on.
So it's going to get even whiter, bro. So my wife left at about 1:40 to take our two daughters to the drag queen storytelling time at the public library.
Not made up. That's true.
That's where she is right now. And I get a text at like 1:58 from the realtor saying, hey, the realtor wants to show the house at 4:15. Well, I know that I'm not going to be there because I'm here. So that's gone. My wife is going to be getting done from listening to drag queens tell stories for the last 2 hours with two kids, a 5-week-old and a 2.5-year-old. Like, and she's going to be getting home at 4 o'clock. No, she can't wait any fucking longer. But at the same time, knowing my wife, if I just blow it off or if I say we can't do it, that's going to piss her off because I just quit. Right. I took the easy road because that never works out no matter what. So I start texting between the guy, like the realtor, and say as soon as my wife gets to where she needs to, she'll respond and see what's going on. Well, I'm thinking that I have 35 minutes with no kids, nobody in the house. Like, I have like 30 minutes before I need to get anywhere. So like I'm like queuing up the porn. Like I'm ready to like take care of something that I haven't been able to take. No. But as I get down to like as I look at our couch, there is a her phone right there. So she's not getting any of the messages. So now I have to, like, within an hour, get downtown from it gets even wider, Oak Park.
He's moving because he wants to assuage his guilt from being a gentrifier.
Yeah. Anyhow, so I get there. I find a parking spot right in front of the library. I get everything. This is like a task of Hercules. You know what I mean? Like, I made it. I did the shit. I'm going to get there on time. I'm fucking killing it at this dad game right now and husband game. Definitely might get a blowjob.
Oh.
Possibly. I get in there. I find her. I say, hey, I got your phone. She looks at me, and I'm like, she just keeps doing what she's doing, and I'm like, I gotta go, here's the phone, and I'm trying not to be loud because there's a person telling a story in front of me, and I don't want to make a
phone. There's a drag queen telling a story
in front of me.
And you do not want to interrupt.
I don't want to interrupt anybody. Like, there's a lot of people there enjoying the good time. I didn't need that. I'm like, what the fuck? And then I tell her, and then it's still like, anyhow, she was so upset with me, and that's my fucking, like, that's my grievance. Like, I did all of that. I accomplished the whole, I, like, did everything. I got you the phone, and, like, I did it. And I fucking cleaned the house up real quick, too, to put stuff away, you know? So, like, when they come through, it's going to look nice, just like she would have wanted me to. And, like, I get a, why the fuck are you disturbing me? Like, I got this.
I left my phone at home for a reason.
I guess. Yeah. Shit.
Sorry about that.
No, that's my grievance.
My grievance is my own brain. As I mentioned a little bit ago, I have a 3-month-old at home, and they are sleep vampires. So the idea of regular sleep is sort of gone from my life for now. And I had to run to Walmart this morning and get formula because we're running out, and I know that big deal. So I get back, and my wife's like, you need to take a nap. So clearly I've been cranky. And I lay down to take a nap, and I start having the weirdest dreams. Like, not since I had a temperature of 104 have I had dreams like these. And the in two parts, mind you. So clearly something happened in the middle to differentiate them. The first one, I was visiting relatives, some alive, some dead, with one of my friends, Ted, who used to be a co-host on the show. And I went into another room for a second, and Ted starts to storm off, and he's muttering something, and I go, what is wrong? And he goes, your aunt wanted me to go get a can of tuna fish for them.
How much weed? Did you get into his stash?
So this is the dream. I'm upset with my... By the way, my aunt is dead. So she is no longer with us. The other relatives are alive. I'm pissed at them for going, hey... Can you have Ted walk a half mile to the store to get a can of tuna? Like, I have a car. We could do this. Just ask me. Again, it's all in my brain. Then something happened. It switched. And then suddenly, I'm out in public with my wife in various places. And without warning, I cannot help myself. I pee on the ground.
It happens.
Because my brain has abandoned me. Absolutely abandoned me, and that is my grievance.
You didn't piss the bed, did you?
No, okay, no, thank God.
That's usually how that ends. Like when you right? like, pee in your story, exactly. Like you usually piss the bed.
You think I didn't check?
I'm sure you did.
I was like, oh God,
it's an expensive bed you got
going on.
Oh man.
So that is the airing of the grievances. That's kind of how that goes. Thank you. Sort of a weird stream of consciousness. We mentioned your art display at the Brick House Art Gallery. Let's go back to that really quickly, because it's really an impressive thing. Because you mentioned a little over a year ago that you were going to start this. And when you told me what it was, I said, that is a fantastic idea, because I hadn't seen anything like it. And as a white guy, it hadn't occurred to me. So why don't you talk a little bit about the year-long journey and... the idea in and of itself and why it needed to happen.
Okay. So the project is called The Invisible Man Reclaiming the Image of the Black Father. And we've talked about this. I've talked about this extensively on the podcast. So So I was a foster kid. My mom took off when I was 6 days old, dropped me off with my father's family, and took off. Over that process, I never got put in the system. I got what we call the black foster care system, which means you get passed around from family member to family member. So over my 18 years in North Carolina, which is where I'm from, I lived up with six, I actually counted yesterday when I was looking at pictures, seven different sets of relatives growing up, or six sets of relatives and one friend's family. And so I do stand-up comedy as well. And one night I was at a show and somebody did a joke about black fathers not being there. And I was like, well, actually, growing up, I was one of the few kids that didn't actually have a father in the household. So I was like, so that's not necessarily true. And then I started ticking off the people in those families that I live with, which at this point I have probably about 20 brothers and sisters. And they're all married with children and they all take care of their children, except for my one brother. So 19 out of 20. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good number.
It's a nice ratio.
It's a nice ratio. So that was one thing that was like a while ago that made me start questioning that the concept or the idea that black fathers weren't involved. And then it was like a Mother's Day. I was thinking about all the stuff that we actually do for our moms on Mother's Day. And I was like, man, and I got one dad that he always hits me up for money when I go home. And so last year, Father's Day, I sent my sister money and I was like, hey, make sure Drew gets this. Because at that point, I realized that we always kind of leave him out.
Right.
So like every time I would go home, like to my mom at that home, I always give her cash so that she can. And I always, so the stipulation with her when I give her cash is you can't spend that money on anybody but yourself. Because she takes care of everybody. So I'm like, okay, this is yours. I don't want you to spend this. Don't give it to anybody. This is for you specifically. And so that was when I was like, oh, we just kind of like, okay, I'll give him like 20 bucks. She walked off with 100. Like, that's a little unfair.
Right.
It's like, so that was another thing. And so I was thinking I wanted to do something to say thank you to those guys. And I couldn't figure out quite what I wanted to do. I had like a idea of doing like a one man play, going through all of the characters. I was talking to my nephew and then he was telling me about taking his daughter to the mall. And, he saw this other younger black man with his daughter at the mall. And he was like, oh, I gotta go. You know, he was like, I saw him and he's like, you know, it tugged at my heart a little bit. So I had to tell him, make sure he keeps up the good work. And so I was like, that's it. So that's what we're going to do. So that's where the photo portion of it came. And actually, Tony Harvey, who works for the Observer, told me like probably like 2 years ago, he was like, stop playing and go ahead and buy a camera because he had seen the pictures I'd been taking with my phone. So that was another trigger. And so comedian Vince Morris, he was here in Sacramento probably about 5 years ago. And me and him had a 3 o'clock in the morning conversation about fathers. He was raised by his single dad. And so we talked about my multiple dads. And so that was another thing that made me like, okay, I want to get this on video so that people can actually hear their stories. And so 4.5 hours of video later, well, about 50 pictures are up in the gallery, and then about 4 hours of video later, we have a art exhibit, and then hopefully in the next 6 months, a full-length documentary.
It's pretty exciting, the whole process. And the fun thing for me is I've started to notice black fathers with their kids.
Yeah.
Just because we've been talking about it so much. I was in Costco in Woodland, and I noticed a black father and his two kids, and he's just taking care of business, going about. And part of the back part of my brain went, I should take a picture for Kareem. And then I'm like, no, you shouldn't do that.
No.
But the other part of the other part of the idea is the story, everybody believes the stereotype. And I'm like, but the statistics don't bear that out. And the statistics actually say that black fathers spend more time with their kids than any group of fathers. And especially doing like the actual day-to-day fatherly duties. Like, I've never seen a white guy with a I can't remember seeing a white guy, an Asian guy, or Hispanic guy with the infant by themselves. Not
well, no, no, like, that's right here, buddy.
I'm like out in public by themselves.
No, I was out in public by myself.
And when you told me that day that you did that, that was like the first time.
Oh my God!
That was the first time that I had seen that.
I'm a unicorn.
You were the first one that I've actually seen. When you told me that, I was like, oh, that's the first time I've actually seen that. But I'll see a brother at the bus stop with a baby in a minute.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard for me because the kid's breastfeeding, so like, mama has to be there. Like, she tries, but I'm like, nothing's coming out, and you're gonna get a mouthful of hair.
Yeah, and there was no disparagement in the thought. It was just the fact that, okay, well, I never see anybody else like that, so why are we held to this standard of having to be that? That was the real thought.
It's really because the biggest thing is it makes you think, because the stereotype becomes the reality,
right,
if you don't ever look past it.
Yeah.
And I think that's important.
Yeah. And then you'll have to Google this, but if you look at the Moynihan report, you'll understand why the image is where it is. The Atlantic wrote a great article that it can explain it better than I can. So
it's all Russia. Sowing seeds of discord.
I can see Russia from my house. I can see Russians. I live in West Sac, so there's that.
Yeah.
Florida, land of enchantment and crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
Okay, we love Florida, but for a weird reason, they tend to lead the world in strange news stories. And some say it's because of their laws, because they actually have all of the police reports that come out, but still.
Oh, and I wanted to tell you that we're not the only ones who recognize it. Ellen has actually started doing more stuff about stuff like that.
I'll be serving her with paperwork soon. So we've been doing Florida Corner for 8 years.
I know.
Headline, snake rises from toilet, bites Florida man. May 29th, as a Florida man lifted the toilet seat in his bathroom early Sunday morning, a 4-foot ball python rose out of the toilet and bit him. On the arm. That's according to the police report, which is brimming with what this article calls nightmare fuel. Cops say that Balthazar Jimeno, who's 52, does not own the snake and has no clue how the non-venomous reptile slithered into his Coral Springs apartment. We've all seen people post photos of a cat in their house.
Yeah.
And they go, this is not my cat. This is not his snake. Jimeno, who's a Target employee, I don't know why that's important, but it's in the article, was treated in his home by emergency service workers following the 6 a.m. snake bite. Okay, imagine for a moment, it's 6 a.m., you're groggily wandering into the bathroom. Maybe you got a little morning wood.
Oh, that could have been really bad.
That could have been horrible.
Exactly.
Horrible.
And you lift it, and the snake comes out at you.
Oh.
I have to imagine morning wood immediately gone.
I don't know, man. It's been like 10 weeks.
And depending on who you are, either you shit on the floor or your asshole clenches so tightly that you don't for a week.
Or you just like are exasperated and like, wow, somebody does love me.
Now, the ball python was corralled by the Coral Springs Police Department's animal control officers. It was subsequently brought to a veterinarian's office, and this is important somehow, for treatment of an infection. I don't know if Balthazar had something and the snake got it, or
yeah,
the snake, or it's just the snake hanging out in the toilet picked up something bad.
Oh man, poor, like, everybody involved is just, it's sad.
Yeah,
I'm like, what did they treat Balthazar for? I mean, I understand you treat him for a snake bite, but all it is like two little pinholes.
Yeah,
but little, little, also, what was that snake's infection? Maybe that infection got into, you know, him down, you know.
I mean, the snake was in the toilet.
Yeah,
if I cut you and then throw toilet water on it, you're probably going to want some treatment.
We're going to cut Jason on,
maybe some back,
on the show and see.
At least some back teen on there.
Oh, man.
That's Florida Corner for now. Let me stop that noise. All right. So are you all having a good time so far?
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for coming out. I love a crowd. I love a crowd.
Like everyone. Like there's like so many people here right now. Every one of them is so important.
It's true. The people who are seeing their first podcast and the gentleman who's seen every podcast.
Yep.
I'm not going to put you on the spot now and ask where we rank, so because it might be low.
We're not done yet.
No. There's plenty more time. So Jason, Kareem's art show opened up on Friday, and we all went over to support it.
Yes.
And I texted you, and your friend Alex texted you, and we both got the same answer. The answer was, and I wrote it down, quote, "We're walking over as a family."
Yes.
So when Alex and I saw you, Stan's family.
Yeah.
We were both like, what the hell?
Where's the family?
Yeah, where's the family?
Yeah.
Have you killed them and left them behind for a life of art?
Oh, man.
Clearly not. Because they're at the Drag Queen Story Hour.
Yeah, that did not happen.
Or is that your alibi?
That's my alibi. Damn it. No, so, I mean, the 2.5-year-old is 2.5, and she has a new baby sister, so she doesn't like to do certain things, and that's pretty much anything that she doesn't want to do.
So you're just going to let that stand?
There's not really a whole lot you can do, bro, and, like, when you get to that age, I'll be here for you for support. But it can be rough, man. And not only that, Grandma Sue, Chris's mom, was leaving at 7:30. So the idea was that I'd get home at 6, or like between 5:30 and 6, and we would just walk straight over because CJ had eaten dinner between 5 and 6. Well, I get there, and CJ hasn't eaten any of her dinner, and she's been being a little turd and not like doing what she's been asked, and Chris is just like, we're not going anywhere. So that's why
that's it. 2.5-year-old, no art show for you.
That's right.
Well, it just was one of those things where it was going to be a lot of moving parts to put. It was best that we did it the way that we did it. I'm sure.
Sure.
And Chris's mom got to the airport on time, so that's also important.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's the big thing.
Yeah.
Kareem, how did you feel when you looked over and saw Jason all by himself?
Now I don't like your wife now. You tell her she's not invited anymore.
I saw a little tear forming right here in the corner of his eye.
It's the way it is with kids, man. They're unpredictable, man. It's just you can't plan it. Unfortunately.
So
hey, remember you asked for that.
Oh no, I know, man. And
twice.
I'm so regretful sometimes.
Twice.
Well, it's like when your wife asks you, you are like always like, especially when they usually ask you. It's usually a specific time. Like anyhow, I got tricked twice. I guess it was
into having sex with your wife.
Yes.
She must be a magician.
She is.
No, she's a scientist.
Oh. Had that timed out.
If I press button A.
I get it. We bust Jason's balls about stuff like this all the time. But so we went out with the 3-month-old, and she delighted at the show. She was smiling and laughing. She loved the music. She's having a great time. And then we left after about an hour, and she was just a holy terror for the rest of the night.
You should have stayed.
Or we should have left sooner.
She is so adorable.
Oh. Yeah.
She is. I'm godfather if she keeps him. She's just adorable.
We'll see. When you get a foster kid, you don't necessarily know how long you have them. So it's one of those things you just sort of go by the book, but it's very weird because my wife is starting to call me dad.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how I feel about that because right now it's just in front of the baby.
Yeah.
If it starts going when the baby isn't around, I'm like, is that okay? Is that exciting for me? Not really sure. Jason?
What? No.
Does your wife call you dad when the kids aren't around?
No.
Daddy?
No.
Okay.
Specifically not. Like, definitely don't get that.
It is the weirdest thing to me. Like, that whole thing. And I'm like, no. Somebody young in my life did that, called their boyfriend daddy. And I was like, you better never say that shit again in front of me. I will punch you in your throat.
It's really creepy. You know, well, I mean, the vice president does call his wife mother.
Yeah.
And so did Reagan called his wife mother, too.
Yeah. Well, that used to be the way, right? I mean, that's why there's you shouldn't have to have a mother when you're 58 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you should be past that point, right? You should be on equal footing with the woman you're with.
Like, I understand it early with the kids, because then that way they don't get confused. But, you know, after they're where they can cognitively think, then you should go back to calling each other by your name and be like, you can't call me that. Well, that's actually how it works in all of my households was, you can't call me what he just called me. And yeah, like with everything. So I don't understand why you still got to do that. That is just weird.
It's a strange thing. The other thing that really weirded me out once was in high school, there was this family and the kids. Now I was, I think 2 years older, so like 16, 14. And he had a sister who was like 10 or 12 and they called their parents by their first name. And first time I heard that, I'm like, oh my God, what's going to happen here? And then I realized, no, that's how they do it.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, well, whatever works for you.
That's the thing that black people make fun of white people about. Like, that's some white shit, because that could never happen. You're like, can't, who? What you, and look, it wouldn't be the parent that you called by the first name. It would be the other parent be like, you called him what?
You do not get to call him Daquan.
No.
Only I get to call him Daquan.
I will knock your teeth out of your mouth.
It's a weird...
Wow. Yes.
Relationships are fun, aren't they?
Yeah, lots of violence, I guess.
Yeah, lots of fun. All right, let's do this.
You never called him Daquan but once.
Yeah, right? It's Quan. Can I call you Quan? No? Daquan, got it.
Lean back, relax, and enjoy Sex Toy News.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes sex toy news leans toward the naughty. Not this time. Because we're in public. And this is from Newsweek, so you know it's news. A squash club in Spain has been accused of sexism after tournament prizes for female competitors included a vibrator, body hair removal kits, and an electric foot file. Elizabeth Sato, who won the squash championship, received a trophy and a vibrator. Olia Fernandez Lense, Maria Arizada Meyer, and Cristina Barracia Fernandez, who finished second, third, and fourth respectively, also received gifts which included an electronic foot file or hair removal wax. In contrast, their male counterparts did not receive any additional presents to go along with their trophies. So that gave me pause. Should they really be offended, or should the guys be upset that they didn't get anything extra?
Guys should be offended that they didn't get anything extra. Because I'm telling you that it was a woman that picked out the rest of those presents. Because no man is cocky enough to do that. It'd be like, I don't think we should do that. But like, oh, it'll be great.
I watch a lot of reality TV. There are some flamboyant gay fellas that would. I'm just telling you.
Yeah. No, I should say, well, no, look, I ran a spa with 19 and a half women. I would have never. And we were close. I touched all of their butts with their permission.
Even the half woman?
Even the half one. And James would. Yeah. All of them with their permission. And I think I've seen most of all of them, and I would never, ever, under any circumstances, buy them any of those things. Well, actually, usually they were trying to pull hair off me. So there's that.
Well, the athletes wrote to the Royal Spanish Squash Federation demanding answers over the treatment, which they felt promoted sexism. The organization then instructed the local federation to launch an investigation, saying, "We were very surprised, very shocked." This was one of the athletes. "We think it's very sexist. We wanted to explain it to everybody because we think there's a lot of discrimination against women in sport and things have to change." A picture of the prizes was posted online by a local radio show, which translates to "We Win with Women," which described them as degrading, shocking, harmful, inconceivable, but sadly real. Sorry, I went off mic there for a second. I was warned about that. Now, along with their letter to the Federation, the athletes also included the prizes they received at the event, which was organized by the local squash club. I think they probably just wanted to be funny or different. So one of the athletes added that. The director of the Women's Institute there met with four players after they returned their trophies, saying they returned their gifts and decided to make a formal complaint so something like this would never happen again. What's occurred is shameful. It left us speechless, except for this statement, apparently. A spokesman for the Squash Federation said it's the height of sexism. We had no idea the women were going to receive these gifts. So the next time you want to go above and beyond, and I think we learned this with Jason's story earlier.
Just don't.
Yeah. Do not go above and beyond.
I will say, though, looking at the prizes and the quality of the vibrator, I would say a woman definitely did not pick that one out.
Do tell, Jason. How do you know about that?
Because it's the Durex play. It's the one you can get in the shopping center. Like, it's like that. Like, when she goes and buys a vibrator, first of all, it's a personal relationship. Second of all, like, that's why I don't think a woman would ever buy one. Because, like, it's a personal, you know, hey, everybody's different, right? Every hanger's different.
Jason, do you know how much money, she's not going to listen to this, so I'm saying. Do you know how much money my girlfriend and her friends have spent on those things in the last 2 years?
I'm sure none of them were picked up in the Walgreens aisle of the store. That's just where you get that one. Just because I've seen it, not that I've ever purchased one.
He just walks by slowly.
Just
a side eye.
You walk by enough times to know that that one specifically is in Walgreens, huh?
Yes, because the Durex play is not. That's not. Have you ever been to a sex shop before? They don't have Durex they have like brand names for this type of shit.
What are all the brand names? Tell us about those. Sure,
I have no
idea. You just know their brand names.
I just know there's not. I know Durex is the type of thing you find in the store, not the store. If you know what I mean.
Look, it's in Spain. I don't even know if they have Walgreens.
Oh no,
in Spain.
They have sex shops in Spain. I guarantee it.
Yeah, but you're insinuating they went to Walgreens.
They went to a Walgreens like place.
Are you getting a kickback from Walgreens?
Everybody has a corner pharmacy market like that. Fine.
So what's your assertion on this? That this was a good idea. This was a bad idea.
It's a bad idea.
That men are just bad.
Maybe they thought it was funny. Like, oh, we'll give them these. Or maybe they thought they were doing something nice. It doesn't matter. They shouldn't have done it.
That's what I touched the guy's balls at Eber School once.
That's true. Oh, you know what happened after all that?
Well, I'm going to hell.
Exactly. So I'm working with paper here. I wanted to print everything. I wasn't sure of the setup. So
yeah.
going with the old school analog of paper. So we... have a rundown for the show, sort of topics that we talk about, that was sex toy news. So let's do a little audience interaction, shall we?
Oh, okay.
We don't get to do this normally, so let's start with you over in the back row, in the back corner. Yeah, hi. So this is your first podcast that you've been to, and what is your favorite candy bar?
Payday.
We have a Payday fan.
Mm.
And why is Payday your favorite? Nice. I like that she had an answer for us. She likes the salty and the sweet together.
I don't even know her well enough to say what I was about to say, but it just came out of sex toy news. I like the salty and the sweets of it.
I think what you're saying is she's the salty and the sweet together.
Yeah.
That's okay. It's a compliment.
I thought she just really liked nuts. No, I mean, that's what Payday has, right? It has nuts, peanuts, right? It's all peanuts.
Again, that's not the compliment.
That's not?
Not the compliment.
Oh, okay. No. Well, that's why I didn't say anything until something.
The guy who bought those was the guy that hung out with Jason.
And you, sir, let me think of a question for him. What was the last movie you saw in the theater? Citizen Kane. Got it.
Wow.
That was a terrible question. Did you watch Game of Thrones?
Yes.
Okay. Did you like the final season? Okay. We've talked extensively about the final season of Game of Thrones. Well, Kareem has.
They've talked extensively about the final season.
Yeah, this is white people stuff again.
If you listen to the podcast regularly, here's the vibe you'll get. There will be parts of the show where Kareem will completely go silent.
Yes.
And there are parts of the show where Jason will totally go silent because I'm talking about wrestling or something like that. Or we're talking about Game of Thrones. So the final season of Game of Thrones is one of those things that was fascinating to me because they put so much time and effort into it. And this is sort of their crowning achievement, their masterwork. And they put it out, and so many people had the exact same reaction you did, sir, which was, eh. Or the guy who started a petition to have them redo season 8 with competent writers.
What a tool.
How bad do you have to... I mean, sure, you've got your pile of Game of Thrones money, but you have to feel terrible that someone comes at you that way.
Well, and like almost 2 million people signed it, right?
Yeah.
Like, how bad it... like. No, and no offense to anybody here if they sign that petition, but like how sad is your life? I mean, like, that's almost as sad as the guys that like thumbs down porn videos, you know? Like, like, that's really sad shit. Like I mean, like, how bad must your life be if that's your thing you're worried about the most? Like, you know, listen, I'm really fucking upset about kids being put in detention centers, but you know what? I'm really fucking pissed off about this Game of Thrones shit, man. I'm starting a fucking petition. Fuck everything else.
Well, and petitions are so easy to sign now. Yeah. You used to have to come up to people. Remember, you go out and there'd be someone with a clipboard. Hey, do you have a moment to support gay rights? And you'd be like, nah, 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 I don't. And then you feel like an asshole.
Yeah. So my extent of watching Game of Thrones is watching Leslie Jones and Seth Meyers watch Game of Thrones. That's like all I get out of it.
It was the last episode. I finally watched it. It was fantastic.
And yeah, it is hilarious. If you haven't seen it, it is YouTube it, the funniest shit you'll see.
It's quite good. Let me go back for a second to people thumbs downing porn videos for a moment.
Yeah.
How many porn videos have you thumbs down? That's the question.
Never. I mean, I don't even up, I don't even like say if I like it or not. That's not for them to know. That's my own personal time.
Porn is weird because with porn videos, and this is kind of a weird inverse relationship, if you watch the whole video, it probably wasn't that exciting for you. It's the only form of entertainment that the less you consume, the more exciting it was.
That's probably true.
All right.
Because if you sit through a whole 16-minute porn video...
He likes the storylines, obviously.
Sure.
You got to get worked into it, you know what I mean? That's why you need, like, you know, a good 20 minutes. Right? You set up some candles, like...
So remember, he has a five-week-old.
I just pine.
Take a little time with yourself.
You got to treat yourself right.
Yeah. Yeah, you absolutely have to do that. thumbs-downing porn videos. And I've seen it, too. So I'm like, this... It's like at 70%. I'm like, who are the 30% of the people who bothered to rate this? Yeah. Now, I appreciate it because they're like, dude,
don't worry about it.
Just keep on moving. Keep on moving. We know you're busy. You'll be spending better time with this other one. Okay. All right. So we're getting close to 45 minutes. So you guys had a good time so far?
Yeah.
All right. I will do this for the people listening. I mean, you guys in the audience... Feel free to click on and help out with this, too. But because this will be played back later, we do have some ways to support the show on the website. It's WTHpod.com. We have a Shop Amazon tab and a Shop Target tab at the top. Those don't cost anything extra, and they help support the show. So thanks for doing that. If you want to know where you can listen to the show, for you guys here in the audience, the show goes up on YouTube. It's on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. It's on the TuneIn app, so you can play it on your Alexa if you want. You just have to say, Alexa, play podcast, WTH podcast by TuneIn. I know it's a lot, but that's like the first time because it's confusing. It's Alexa.
Yeah.
But we're available in all those areas. There's new shows Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and they're always free. So appreciate that. Appreciate you guys hanging out. And let's wrap up the show as we always do. With this.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
I come from a small town, and in small towns, the news isn't really what the news is in a larger place. For instance, a place like Grand Forks, North Dakota, where there's a lady with a regular column. You might have heard of her. Her name's Marilyn Haggerty. And she does, in addition to other columns, something called the Eat Beat. And it garnered her a little bit of fame when she did a glowing review when the Olive Garden opened in Grand Forks. Anthony Bourdain caught on to it and actually invited her to New York. It became a whole big thing. This time, she went to a place called the Wired Bean Coffee House. So, the place at noon was crowded and seemed hectic. With friends, I got in line at the Wired Bean Coffee House in Thief River Falls. There was no time for dawdling. I quickly chose a cup of chicken wild rice soup, $3.98, and a half of a bacon lettuce tomato sandwich on wheat bread, $3.97. With a Minnesota tax of 55 cents and a tip of a dollar automatically included in my bill, my expenditure was $9.50. Lunch at the Wired Bean continued when we found a place to sit in a side room of the small restaurant. This was printed in the paper, by the way. We could see it's a place popular in the bustling city where they say over 4,000 are employed at DigiKey. And there's another Wired Bean coffee shop there. Now, after we received our food and paid at the counter, we wended our way through the small cafe. There were no seats left in the booths or at the high counter. Then we found a side room where customers were nailing down places to sit. And we managed comfortable seating at a table. I was visiting Thief River and nearby Honker Flats Greenhouse with friends. Ann Porter, Susie Shaft. That's Susie Shaft. That's
hey, right. Yeah. Weathen.
And with Don Ellis, who lives in Thief River. We found the food a tad different and a tad better than we often find in area restaurants. We agreed that sometimes self-service works best. The lineup for food was not long. It allowed us to get exactly what we wanted. The place itself seemed so interesting that we went back later in the day for coffee.
So they went to the coffee shop, did not get coffee.
Right.
And then they're like, you know what? Maybe I should go back and review the coffee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By mid-afternoon, the Wired Bean Coffee House seemed like a gathering place for high school and college students. Mornings, it's full of coffee drinkers.
Don't buy coffee.
Again, printed in the local newspaper. Readers in Thief River had earlier suggested Eat Beat visit the Wired Bean. It's one of their several inviting restaurants. I'm guessing they have some that aren't so inviting. Among the inviting ones are the well-known Evergreen, where large dinners are served.
Buffet?
Melanie Warney has been manager of the Wired Bean for 6 years. She says the honey chicken macaroni and cheese is the best seller at lunchtime. A panini sandwich with chicken and bacon and ranch dressing at 8:45 is another popular choice. It comes with a side of chips or fries and soup or salad. Every day the homemade soup is different.
Ooh.
Among choices are chicken dumpling as well as different bean and ham soup with chicken. And here's where they break it all down for you. They give you the location. It's at 1554 Highway 595, Suite 100 in Thief River Falls, Minnesota. The owner is Derek Morgan. The manager is Melanie Warney. Their phone number is 218-683-5112. They're open from 6 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. weekday, 7 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. Saturday, and 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Sunday. And they wrap it with a report card, just so you know. And this, they call it the report card, but it's not really because there's no grade. Food has fresh, inviting quality. There is seating for 52. Service from the counter ranges from quick to hectic during rush times. Menu is unique. And that is it for Small Town News. And that is it for the WTH podcast. Thank you guys so much for coming out. Thank you for downloading the show and listening. And thank you to Stab Comedy Theater
thank
and
you,
the
Stab.
And the Sack Pod Fest for having us. Have a good one, guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you all for coming out. One more time, WTH Podcast. Woo! We have five more shows, if you want to stick around. Coming up next, the Friendship Podcast. They'll actually be in the smaller room. Well, we won't call it. In the lobby room. Because at five, we have the Far Beyond Metal show, which is going to have a full metal band in here. So we've got to set up the two different rooms. But thank you all for coming out. If you're going to be here for more, love to see you. Otherwise, see you another time. You're off.